Welcome to Ikoyi Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
Let's turn to the book of Nehemiah. Chapter 2. Can we have the microphone, please? You have the mic there. No, just stay there. Can you read for us? Give the phone and the mic to Regina. From verse 1 to 9.
In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before, so the king asked me, "Why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart." I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" The king said to me, "What is it you want?" Then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried, so that I can rebuild it." Then the king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked me, "How long will your journey take, and when will you get back?" It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time. Verse 7. I also said to him, "If it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah? And may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the royal park, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple and for the city gate and for the city wall and for the residence I will occupy. And because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my requests." So I went to the governors of Trans-Euphrates and gave them the king's letters. The king had also sent army officers and cavalry with me.
Hallelujah. Nehemiah accepted the challenge to go and rebuild the city of Jerusalem. Unlike Jonah, Nehemiah obeyed the Lord's prompting and pursued the purpose of God for his life. He left the juicy office of a cupbearer to become a city builder. May the Lord help each one of us to positively and promptly respond to God's invitation to fulfill his purpose for our lives in Jesus' name. So we are continuing with the study of Nehemiah. I want to see how, from that insignificance, from that littleness, from that obscurity, God brought Nehemiah into limelight. If Nehemiah had not obeyed the Lord, sincerely speaking, I'm not sure we'll be reading about him in this generation. It was his obedience that has brought him to eternal prominence. That even though he's dead and buried, thousands of years now, we are still studying about Nehemiah. What obedience will do for you in life, you cannot quantify it. Where obedience to God will take you to in life, sincerely speaking, you can't estimate it. The same thing, what disobedience will do to you, you will find it unbelievable when you learn to disobey God. So I encourage us to obey the Lord, and it will be well with us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's take question one from verse 1 to 3. What do you think is responsible for Nehemiah's sadness of heart? The king observed as Nehemiah brought wine to the king. Between chapter 1 and chapter 2 that we are talking about, there's already a space of about 6 months when Nehemiah received the information. And she was broken, and she began to fast. He began to pray. And this is the incident that followed. Now he was bringing wine before the king. And the Bible says that the king observed that he was looking sad. And the king asked him the question. What is the problem when you are not sick? He said, this can be nothing but sadness of heart. So I'm asking the obvious question. What is responsible? What do you think is responsible for the sadness of heart? Who has the mic? What do you think is responsible?
He was told about the ruin of Jerusalem and also that the gate has been burnt down.
Okay. The information he received in chapter 1, like we said, about the broken walls of Jerusalem and the burnt gate is what is responsible for his sadness of what? Of heart. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, what can we explain about this sadness of heart, this kind of sadness that somebody is carrying for how long now? 6 months. And yet, he was working in the palace. Good job, good opportunity, the environment, everything is fine. But at the same time, he was not happy. How do we explain this type of sadness? How do you explain it? I think somebody sang, one of these famous musicians said, when you have sorrow of heart, just take how many bottles of drink so that you can use it to clear. I know Nehemiah was in charge of wine. He should have used wine to do what? To drive away that sadness of heart. Temporary relief. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This sadness of heart shows to us that something was going on in the heart of Nehemiah. God planted a seed that Nehemiah could not recover from. And if Nehemiah will not apply his heart to what God has put on his heart, sincerely speaking, he may die like this without fulfilling that divine purpose. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So the sadness of heart in this context can be likened to a burden. God planted a burden in the heart of who? Of Nehemiah. And every day for the past 6 months, he was carrying it. He was carrying it. Maybe other days he has been pretending. Whenever he's going to serve, you know, before the king. But this particular day, he couldn't. And the king observed it. I know the implication. When you're a cupbearer and you are bringing wine before the king and your countenance is not, you know, sharp, you are not looking happy, you become the number one what? Suspect. Because before the king will receive the wine from your hand to drink, he will look at your face to check whether we are in order. So the king noticed that this man was not looking happy. Ah, he said, no, Nehemiah, tell me something. I hope all is well. And thank God that Nehemiah opened up. Praise the Lord. What is a burden? What is a burden? I'm seeing a hand at the back there. What is a burden?
A burden can simply mean a cause of worry.
Okay. Something that is giving you worry. Yes. What else can we define the burden? Yes, my sister.
A burden could be a load that you carry.
A load that you carry. And a heavy load, for that matter. Praise the Lord. This time around, Nehemiah was carrying this load on his head. Was he carrying the load on his head? Was it a visible load? Where was he carrying the load? On his heart. Before we move from this point, can I ask you, what burden are you carrying for Ikoyi Baptist Church? What burden are you carrying for your father's house? Can you see a man that was bothered, troubled about what? The place where his fathers were what? Were buried. That simple information for the next 6 months became a burden. What burden are you carrying for the Lord? A burden has to do with a load, especially everyone, a spiritual weight that God deposits in the heart of a man, something that God wants done, and he just drop it sometimes like an idea, like a thought in your heart, and you never recover from it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's take question number 3. Mention some of the ways God-given burdens are received. Let me ask us while we are getting ready to answer that question. Does God still give burdens today? Do we say yes or no? Yes. So what are some of the ways God-given burdens are received? Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. And we are reading verses 11 to 13. Can we read it together from the screen? After Moses had grown up. Praise the Lord. So how did Moses receive the burden to be the deliverer of God's people? From the verses we have just read. Who is answering? Okay. Dr. Naiga.
He observed something that was wrong, mm-hmm. and he felt it that this is evil to my people. So the burden was leashed out.
Take note of the word. He did what? Observed. Observation. Look at verse 13. He went out and did what? And saw. Somebody said, eyes that look are common. But eyes that see are very rare. Many of us are looking, but we are not seeing. And may the Lord open our eyes to see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As you come to your Father's house, and God open your eyes to see, and you pick a body, and you begin to labor at it, you see God being glorified. So we receive burden by observation. Amen. By what? By observation. Bro, are you still raising your hand? Okay. Let's take our brother, then come to the front. Can we have a second person taking microphone for us so that by the time this brother finish this business tonight,
You have the burden, right? You feel concern. You feel concern for it, and you're always eager because it's something you've been directed by the Spirit.
So we receive God-given burden by having concern. And who puts the concern there?
God's Spirit.
God.
Being eager.
You see, God is the one that is at work in us, both to will and to what? And to do of his good pleasure. Let's come to the front.
Sorry. Let me even start by way of the similarities that I can draw between Nehemiah and Moses. All of them were in positions of comfort in the palace. Palace with the other king and palace in Egypt. And yet, that burden that was in their heart took its origin from their own root, belonging to the covenant race. So it became so obvious that despite the paraphernalia and the enjoyments and all that that have to do with the palace, I still have to identify with my people. So for you to receive this burden and act on it, there must be some element of self-denial so that you can now act on God-given burden. That adjustment is necessary.
Thank you for that addition. You know, the principle of identification. When you stay away, for instance, it becomes for God to use somebody to accomplish his purpose in the Ikoyi Baptist Church, that person must be here. Are you following me? You cannot be in America I want to be used of God in Ikoyi Baptist Church. You must leave America to where? To this place. Identification. Being part of. And like Abdullah said, incidentally, these two men, they were comfortable. They were all right. They were in the palace. And they chose to identify with the people of God. And in the process, God planted a burden in their heart. Hallelujah. Let's take chapter 3. Let's take chapter 3. Chapter 3, verses 4 to 10. Can we read it together? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." Let's go on. Let's all read together. "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptian and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." So the question we're answering is, mention some of the ways God-given burdens are received. So how did Moses receive the burden in this passage we've just read to become the deliverer?
Moses take it personal.
Okay. But how did it come to him before it became personal? From this story now, the story of the burning bush, isn't it?
Yeah.
What happened? The bush was burning, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what happened? Moses went to check because he saw the bush, fire in the bush, but the bush was not burning. He said, "What kind of sin is this?" And in the process, God did what? God spoke. How was it that God spoke?
The Holy Spirit directed.
Said Moses. You can be seated, ma. Thank you, ma. Is there anybody bearing Moses in church? Oh, there's a Moses there. God bless you, eh? I hope you will hear the voice of God. Okay, so our sister has given us a clue, but let's still continue. Who else want to add something? How did Moses receive the burden?
God called him and instructed him. So we can receive a burden by a direct call.
A direct divine call. Amen. How many of us have heard the voice of God like this before? God calling your name. How many of us are wishing like that, that God will call your name? I pray you will hear him when he calls. Amen. So we have seen from the life of Moses that first of all, he began to perceive, began to receive the burden from the Lord by identifying with the Israelites, followed by what? By observation, by carrying a heart of what? Of concern. And to now finalize it, he identified the voice of God. God called him directly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me say before we go too far that God may not call you like this. Because if you are waiting, say, Pastor said, God, I'm not guaranteeing you. Amen. Those of us in experiencing God class, you know how God speaks, isn't it? If you have not yet experiencing God, you may need to do that and learn how to discern the voice of God. Okay, let's jump to Nehemiah. Chapter 1, verse 2. How did Nehemiah catch the burden, receive the burden that made him to become a city builder? How did the burden got to him? Nehemiah chapter 1. Can we read verses 1 and 2 together? Verse 1 and 2. Let's wait for me there to, okay? Can we read together? The words of Nehemiah, son of Akaliah, in the month of Kislev, in the 28th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, and Anani, one of my brothers, came from with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. So how did Nehemiah receive the God-given burden? Just raise your hand and tell us. How did he? To the front.
He asked questions.
Hallelujah. What does that suggest to us? That just by mere asking questions, God can do something if you are sensitive enough. Question. Usually we bring what? Answer. And by the time the answer came, something happened to Nehemiah. Something happened. What's happening at home? Simple question. And by the time this young man or whoever amongst them gave Nehemiah the information, it was as if God threw some arrow into his spirit that he never recovered from. And when we read his response, what was his response? He sat down, he wept, and did what? Prayed and fasted for weeks. And he was still doing it as a chapter 2 when he was bringing wine before the king. Hallelujah. I pray God will give us a fertile heart. The kind of heart that when God drops his burden, it will mature, germinate, and give birth. So when you come to church, you attend your PDVs, you attend this meeting or that meeting, questions, answers, comments people make should actually be used by God to put a burden in your heart. Hallelujah. 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 Before we leave this story here, can we compare Nehemiah and Moses in terms of how they received the burden to become what they became in the hand of God? Praise the Lord. Did you see Nehemiah hearing the voice of God like Moses? Was there a burning bush? Did you read any part of the book of Nehemiah from chapter 1 to chapter 13 where the Lord began to call Nehemiah and say, Nehemiah. Did you see any part of the book of Nehemiah like that where God was calling him like he did to Moses? That's what I said earlier. If you are waiting, say, this night, you get back home and say, God, as I'm sleeping tonight, just call my name 3 times. I will answer you 1,000 times. It doesn't work like that too. God has the prerogative of how to call you. He chose to do that for Moses, but for Nehemiah, it was just like a drop in his heart. That's why when you read this same chapter 2, I think verse 12, let's look at chapter 2, verse 12 of Nehemiah and see what. Verse 12. Can we read verse 12 together? I set out during the night with a few men. I had not told anyone what my God had what? Had put in my heart to do. I hope we are seeing the way God works. That it's not until you begin to hear God calling you, Abigail, how many times did I call you? Sometimes God will just put it like an idea, like a thought. It will just flash. And if you recognize it and you operate with it, you'll be amazed as to what God wants to do. Could be in your place of work that God just say, stand up. Go and talk to that person. I may not understand why God is putting that thought in your heart, and you obey. You have a testimony in the long run. Praise the Lord. Cross out Nehemiah 4:4-8. Let's look at Acts chapter 16 from verse 6 to 9. Acts chapter 16 from verse 6. Okay, can we read together? Having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Just hold on. That verse, does this look strange to you? That God will commission some people to go and preach the gospel, and the Holy Spirit will tell them not to preach. Doesn't it look strange? To me, it looks strange. That God has said, go ye, go and preach the gospel all over the world. And some people in obedience decide to go. And the Bible says here that they were kept by the Holy Spirit. From the what? From preaching the word of God. Not that they wanted to commit sin and the Holy Spirit stopped them. They wanted to do what we can call the will of God. And the Holy Spirit will not allow them. Interesting. The next verse to that. Let's see what happened again. Can we read together? When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia. But the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. It was as if there was a struggle. They wanted to go this way. The rich people said, no, that's not where we are going. That's not where we are going. They turned this way, and the Bible said the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, would not allow them. Serious. Then what happened? Verse 8. So, they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So, how do we receive burden from the Lord from this passage? I don't know which one you are saying, whether you are saying mission or vision. Vision. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As many in this assembly that have been gifted by God in this manner, but you've lost the gift, may the Lord grant you restoration tonight. In the name of Jesus. This is very crucial for us as a church, especially as we begin to launch out in planting churches. That there's a place, there's a Macedonia that God will want us to operate on. Hallelujah. 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 When you check other translation of this passage, one translation says, come over to Macedonia where you are needed the most. It wasn't that God wouldn't want them to preach the gospel in Bithynia or in other places where they were heading for. But there was a place so crucial in the heart of God that they must get to immediately. Come over to Macedonia. And the only way God could resolve that challenge was to provide a vision to Paul. Can you raise your hand to God and say, Lord, sharpen my vision? Can you make it a prayer? Can you pray briefly to the Lord? Say, Lord, sharpen my vision. Every obscurity in our vision tonight, we rebuke it. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over our spirit. We plead the blood of Jesus for clarity of vision. Clarity, clarity of vision. As individual, as family, as a church, we receive clarity of vision. We receive clarity, clarity, clarity of vision. We receive divine direction by the power and the working of your spirit. Every demon on assignment to blocking our vision, the Lord rebuke you. We bind you, we cast you out of our lives. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And thank God Paul obeyed. He and his team, and the Lord blessed them exceedingly for that. There's another one that is not in our outline that I want us to quickly see before we go. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. Verses 1 and 2. Yeah, before we read Daniel 1 and 2, let me go back again to Acts 6 that we just left. We've talked about vision, but apart from vision, God can plant burden in your heart through special invitation. And what do I mean by special invitation? What do you see in that passage? A man of Macedonia was the one doing what? Extending the call. Amen. 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 When a man is begging, it's a crucial matter. In their days, you know how they associate they give to such things. It shows that the matter is very crucial, isn't it? That we need help. Come over to Macedonia and help us. And with the discernment of the Spirit of God, be able to know the voice of God. Can we read Acts 9, verse 1 and 2 together? Acts 9, 1 and 2. Oh, I'm sorry. Daniel chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Can we read? In the first year of Arius, son of Xerxes, a meat by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem will last 70 years. Praise the Lord. And, you know, after that, Daniel began to pray and fast for the next 21 days. How did he get the burden? How did he get the burden? Through what? Through the scriptures. Through the word of God. So that means every day as you pick your Bible to read, don't be casual. God wants to speak to you. God wants to give you an information that others may not be privy to. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I remember some years ago, my second year in the seminary, to be precise, I did my first long vacation in a church in Ibadan. That's what we call the long vacation ministry, usually between June and July. All the seminary students go to churches to serve. And at serving this church, now I'm back for the second year, waiting to go for the second long vacation ministry. And I remember that Friday, while I was doing my quiet time, I got to that scripture we earlier read from Acts chapter 16. And as I began to study, I knew that this is a God moment, something unusual. God is saying something to me about a place called Macedonia that I don't know. So I got home, you know, every weekend I would go home. My wife, we were living in Ibadan while I was in the seminary. So I got home, I told my wife, I said, prepare, God is taking us to Macedonia, I don't know. And by the time I got to school on Monday, this church came, they sent their church leader all the way from Port Harcourt to come and look for a pastor. I'm just sharing this story to see how God, because some of us, you take God's word to you in your quiet time as if it's nothing. That's the way God speaks to me. If I'm confused over a matter now and I want to know the mind of God, you know what I do? I go back to my journal and I begin to read what God has been saying for the past 1 month, sometimes for the past 1 year, to get to understand what God is saying now. So this man came from Port Harcourt, and Reverend, we know he was in room 1, I was in room 3. Reverend passed room 3, start from here. This room 3, room 2, room 1. And he went to Kenneth Enyobara. Kenneth Enyobara used to be your roommate. And it was Kenneth Enyobara that they had in mind when he was coming from Port Harcourt to come and extend call to. He got to Kenneth Enyobara. Kenneth Enyobara said, "I'm sorry, I'm already committed to a church. I cannot come. But I have somebody else I can recommend to you." So Kenneth took this man and took him to the new dormitory to meet Julius Omomola. Julius Omomola is the current pastor of New Heritage Baptist Church. So Julius said, "I'm sorry, I cannot come. I'm already committed to another church, but I have somebody else I can recommend to you." Julius now brought them back to my room. So as the man opened his mouth to speak, I just laughed. "I don't need to fast or pray again because God has already what? Spoken." How did he speak? He spoke through the scriptures. Amen. Please take your Bible reading serious. God may not speak to you through dreams. He may not speak to you through visions. He may not speak to you through any other. In fact, the devil, as wicked as he is, can decide to block your gifts. But he cannot block your reading of the Word of God. Hallelujah. 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 A young man died in our church in Port Harcourt some years ago. A driver to a member. I know usually, pastor, come. By the time we got there, the boy was just lying lifeless in the hospital. And it was already going to about 4 hours. Hospital people said, "Carry your dead body now, leave us alone." Brother said, "No, I will not leave this place until God speaks." I said, "See me, see trouble." You know, there are some members like that that could be very, very radical. Say, "I'm not living here." We took the body to the mortuary. He said, "He's not going home until God speaks." Say, "Pastor, you say you're a man of God. What is God saying in the mortuary?" Suddenly, the Lord said to me, "Say, son, I spoke to you this morning." I said, "Yes, God, you spoke to me this morning, but what is the connection between what you told me this morning and the dead body in mortuary?" So I took a step back. I began to reflect on what God said to me this in the morning. I said, "Deacon, God has spoken. Let's go." So he followed. And as we got to his house, I went back to my devotion that morning. And I shared the scripture God said to me that morning. You know, the scripture God gave me in my devotion that morning was the story of the young prophet. How many of us remember the story of the young prophet that disobeyed the voice of the Lord and was killed by a lion? So I said, "Sir, your son that died as a result of disobedience. I'm telling you, I don't have any, thus said the Lord," you know, all this prophecy that people do like, I didn't hear, have anything like that, other than what? The Word of God. I've learned over the years that what God said to me in my quiet time every morning is the prophecy for the day. That word will either be for me directly or for something ahead of me in the course of the day. For it says, "His word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." So I said, "Sir, your boy died as a result of disobedience. This is the word of God. That's what God is saying. It looks so authoritative." And we sat there, people were crying and all the rest. You know how God will confirm his word? Suddenly a young girl ran into the sitting room and knelt down and started crying on the lap of the deacon. Before we know it, long story cut short, that was the girlfriend of the boy that died. Confession began. While they were sleeping in the main house overnight, driver brought the girlfriend to the house the previous night. They slept together, committed sexual sin, and unfortunately, this is happening on Monday. Sunday before, we had Holy Communion. He was baptized and took Holy Communion. And the way to celebrate his baptism was to bring girlfriend to the house overnight. And as he came out of the morning to wash the car, something just struck him and he died on the spot. So what God said to me was the prophecy that was needed to resolve the problem. Why am I saying this? This Bible, is the oracle. Are you hearing me? Every morning as you carry your Bible like this, you are consulting what? The oracle. The word of God is the living oracle. So when you approach the word of God every day, every morning like that, it becomes easy for God to drop something in your heart, because he knows that you will not take that word with levity.
Well, know the way some of us read our Bible.
Yeah, you want to read Bible now? You just open it and say, Lord, anywhere I read this morning, just speak to me. And once you open somewhere that is not too good, say, no, I reject this in Jesus' name. I reject it in Jesus' name. So be systematic in your approach, and God will faithfully deal with you. So Daniel caught the body that Israel, they were to be in captivity for 70 years, and the time was fast approaching, and he began to pray. God actually needed somebody to begin to pray. And how many people have been reading the same book? Nothing was happening to them, but Daniel, God helped his heart and was able to catch that body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's go to the book of Nehemiah chapter 2. We're going to close with verse 4 tonight. I hope I've not jumped something. Did I? Okay, question 4. What is the vision God gave to Nehemiah? We see that in verse 5. And simply, it is to go and build the walls of what? Jerusalem. Okay, to rebuild the city of Judah, the broken walls and the gates. We've already talked as to how he received that vision. God put it in his heart. How large was Nehemiah's vision? In Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 5. Give us verse 5 of that same passage. How large was the vision? Can we read together? And I answered the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my fathers are buried, so that I can do what? How large do you consider that vision to be? Somebody said very large. Why do you say it's very large? Yeah, it's very large. But what makes it very large? Help me quickly. Why do you say it's very large? Okay. It was to rebuild
a whole city.
What is the difference between building a house I'm building a city.
Ah. House is just one small building. The city is several houses in a place. And you had to rebuild the whole walls and the gate. So I would say the circumference, the area was large. And it wasn't something one person could do. If wow. It was, there had people already there that couldn't do it. So this was large, extra large.
It was extra large, very large. I think Reverend Igbo gave us the dimension of the city of Jerusalem the other time. I've forgotten what you told us. Okay, the wall. Okay. But can you imagine somebody whom all his life, the last job we found him doing was to carry what? Carry cup, wine. And God moved him from serving wine to be a city what? Builder. That's a large work. According to this word of somebody here, it's a God-sized what? Assignment. If he was called to build one house, fine. But this time around, it's not just one house. We are not just talking about many houses now. We are talking about building a city. Very large vision that God gave to him. And the next question. Say, what do you understand from Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4a? Nehemiah 2, 4a. So, can we read just 4a? Can we read it together? Just 4a. I want us to read it one more time, and I want you to read it well, because this is God's word to us tonight specifically. Can we read it one more time? The king said to me, "What is it you want?" 4a. So, what is it you want? What do we understand by that statement? Yes? Divine what?
Blank check.
Yep. Is that what you want to say also, ma? When you say blank check, what is the meaning of blank check? Give her the mic.
You have to be specific. You cannot beat about the bush. You have to say exactly what you want.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Over there, ma.
The king granted him attention.
The king gave him attention. What do we understand this statement to mean vis-a-vis kingdom assignment? When God gives a man an assignment and is not asking you, what do you want? Yes.
Praise the Lord. From the previous from chapter 1, he prayed, he wept, and he was looking forward to God's favor. And this is the time that God has now answered his prayers by asking him, what is it that you want?
Okay. Yeah. I want us to hit the nail on the head. We are going somewhere. Thank you, man. Yes.
I think the king is asking him, what are those things that you want me to equip you with for this assignment?
In other words, you have a project to accomplish. What do you require? What do you want me to do? For you to do what? To accomplish what is in your heart. Praise the Lord. Addition.
The question here is that, what do you understand from Nehemiah 2, 4? And it's, what do you want? Like, God, so God of all possible. Like, asking you, what do you want? Because he can actually do anything for you.
Okay. That's what I want to praise say. The Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What the king is saying to Nehemiah is an indication that God is always ready and willing to give us every backing that we need to carry out whatever assignment he has commissioned us to do. Hallelujah. 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 Next week, by God's grace, we shall move further from there, but we're going to challenge ourselves a little bit before we leave tonight. Let me ask you, as we're in this meeting tonight, and I sense the Lord saying to IBC tonight, what do you want? I see God asking somebody here tonight, what is it you want? This sadness of face that you are carrying all about will not solve the problem. Tell me what you want. Somebody call it open check. So God is giving somebody open check tonight. The problem I have is, what will you write? What will you write in the open check that Baba is giving you tonight? How many people in the Bible that God gave this kind of opportunity? You know, there are quite a number of them. Do you remember Herodias' daughter? Do you remember? What was the story about Herodias' daughter? She danced, and the king was impressed. And the king said, ask me for anything. And the mother quietly, because she was a little girl, she doesn't know what she actually needed. And said, tell the king, I want the head of John the Baptist. Excuse me, was she given? Was she given? If an earthly king will honor his word, will not violate his word, can God violate his word? Can God change his mind and say, no, I didn't mean it when I was telling you? Ask for whatever you want. The story of Esther is another example, isn't it? The king told Esther, Esther, all this parabolation you are doing about giving me food, banquet all over the place, there's something in your heart that you want to tell me. Tell me, Esther, what do you want? The king said, even up to half of my kingdom, I'm ready to give it to you. And Esther said, is it not this Emma? Did the king... These are human beings, so that will say, ask for what you want. And they granted, how much more? Our God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Tonight, in the few minutes we have to pray, the only prayer I'm praying for you tonight is that may the Lord help you to know what to ask for. God came to Solomon in the night after that great sacrifice that he gave to the Lord. And God said to Solomon, ask me for what you want. Necessity of right asking. Our problem many a times is that we don't know what to pray for, according to Romans chapter 8. Now God is saying, what do you want? You know what some of us will say? God is giving you a blank check tonight. Say, what do you want? You know what some of us will write? You know what some people will write? Let me ask your neighbor, what will you write? I once heard this story from a man of God about a very rich man here in Lagos that, you know, the family members, relations, they know that the only way they can get anything from him is to send children, that the man likes children. If you go to him as his relative to ask him for money, he will never give you. But if you send a little child, send that child forward to go and meet him. The man loves children. And once you put the word in the mouth of the child, say, this is what you tell Papa you want, Papa will give you. If you ask for a house, he will give. So this woman took this child to go and meet this rich man to make a request. She needed plenty of money and all the rest. But along the line, she made a mistake when they were going. That when uncle asks you for what you want, tell him you want cookies. Cookies. You know cookies. So they got to uncle's house. They've been gisting, talking, laughing, and all the rest. So it was at this point, she now called the child and said, when you go to meet uncle, tell him you need house, you need car, you need this, you need that. Not too long, uncle brought the little child to the room. Say, what do you want? The child said, I want cookies. Where the woman was, it was upon all the riaza, cookies. I know there are some of us here tonight. You know what you ask God for? Cookies. You ask God for piano. Say, God, give me piano. What do you need piano for? If God give you piano now, do you know how to play it? Which vehicle will help you carry it home? Where will you keep it in your house? So may the Holy Spirit help you to pray correctly tonight. There are some men like David who knew how to ask God. When God said in Psalm 2, say, ask of me, and I will give you nations for your inheritance. I believe God tonight that somebody will ask God for nations. You will not ask God for small things. When heaven is open over your life and God is saying, my daughter, my son, it's not a matter of sadness of heart. What do you want? Ikoyi Baptist Church, what do you want? What do you want? What is it that you want? Nehemiah. You have been with me in this palace for this number of years. You are so faithful, so dependable, so reliable. I trust you. What is it you want? Where you are going? What is the matter? Excuse me. Is it that the king didn't know that Nehemiah, we need this, we need this, we need that? The personal responsibility. You must know what you want. Solomon said, Lord, just give me wisdom. Give me a wise and discerning heart to rule this thy great people. I know God was touched. Say, hey, Solomon, is that what we asked for? I didn't know there are still people like you around that are so wise and intelligent. Solomon, I will give you wisdom, and all the things you didn't ask for, I will give to you. See, there's one thing you will ask God for tonight that will draw every other thing that you are looking for. Shall we bow our heads in prayer?
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5 to 7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook as Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org.